works. Ah, those poor, naive innocents. Such quaint, charming habits of the jungle. Screaming at trees, indeed. How primitive. Too bad they don't have the advantages of modern technology and the scientific mind. Me, I yell at my wife, and yell at the telephone and the lawnmower, and yell at the TV and the newspaper and my children. I've been known to shake my fist and yell at the sky at times. Man next door yells at his car a lot, and this summer I heard him yell at the stepladder for most of the afternoon. We modern, urban, educated folks yell at traffic and empires and bills and banks and machines, especially machines. Machines and relatives get most of the yelling. Don't know what good it does. Machines and things just sit there. Even kicking doesn't always help. As for people, well, the Solomon Islanders may have a point. Yelling at living things does tend to kill the spirit in them. Sticks and stones may break our bones, but words will break our hearts. Tonight, I want to talk with you guys about words. And before I do, I'd like to pray for you. And I'm going to pray for you out of the book of Ephesians, just as Paul prayed for the church in Ephesus, and then we'll jump into the words. So would you pray with me, please? God, just as Paul did in Ephesians chapter 3, I now pray for this group, this body, these people here as they learn and grow in following you. And I pray this, God. I pray for this reason, from the whole family in heaven and on earth as it derives its name for you, I pray that out of your glorious riches you may strengthen us with power through your Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep the love of Christ is, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. Amen. This is a prayer that Paul prayed for the church in Ephesus. It's in chapter 3 of the book of Ephesians, and I'd like you to turn there if you wouldn't mind. If you don't have a Bible with you, under our chairs there's a bunch of Bibles. Grab one of our Bibles, and if you don't have a good Bible at home, grab one of ours, put your name in it, take it home with you, and keep it for yourself. We are going to be in the book of Ephesians in chapter 3, and that's on page 812 of our Bibles, or Ephesians chapter 3 of your Bible. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul in verse 14 prays this prayer. And I think it's significant that he prays this prayer here because of the nature of the rest of this letter as he writes it to the church in Ephesus. Because what Paul is about to do is he's about to write to them about unity in the body, and then about living as children of light, and then about all sorts of things that deal with submitting ourselves to one another. And as you well know, if you're going to start talking to people about these kinds of things, you may well want to begin by praying that the Holy Spirit would become full in them and that they would become aware of God's incredible love, because isn't it in Romans chapter 12 where God tells us it is in view of God's mercy that we are able to present ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God? You miss the mercy of God and you're already at a huge disadvantage. So as we are consumed by the incredible work of Christ and the incredible sacrifice and the incredible love that he has for us, it becomes more and more evident in our lives that we ought to not take that love lightly, but give back to that out of the obedience of our hearts. And that's exactly what Paul is doing here as he prays for the church in Ephesus, and then he jumps into chapter 4, and we, in fact, are going to go down in chapter 4, and we're going to jump into verse 17. And Paul writes this to the church in Ephesus, and this is what he says. Read with me. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you may no longer live as Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separate from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. And then in verse 20, he says, you, however, that's you and I, Christ followers, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, so to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Wow. I mean, doesn't that just blow your mind? How fascinating is that as Paul writes to us as Christ followers and once again speaks into our lives in that manner that says, this should be a no-brainer. You're a Christ follower. This is how you ought to live. Paul does not write these things as though to somebody who's weak and who really can't do it, but he's like, just try. He writes this and goes, wait a second. I insist on sharing this with you. You should not be living like the Gentiles. You used to live like the Gentiles, but now you're not a Gentile. You are in Christ, and you ought to live as a Christ follower. And then he goes on to speak about what that is related to. And as he jumps into this, it is in verse 29 of chapter 4 that he jumps into this verse, one of my favorite verses. It says this, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. You know, there are verses in Scripture hidden in passages of Scripture that if taken out and put into practice absolutely and completely would revolutionize everything that we know to be true. And this is one of those verses. If we could grab a hold of this single verse, 4:29, Ephesians 4:29, and say, I will not open my mouth and speak unless it is for the building up of others according to their needs, nothing would ever be the same in our lives. I was driving in the car with my daughter and some of her friends the other day. It was a lot of fun. We were off to her birthday party. In fact, they're all sitting at that little table right there, coloring away. And we were driving down in the car, and I'm listening to the conversations going on in the back seat. You know, have you ever done that? Sat with nine-year-olds and listened to the conversations, a bunch of nine-year-old girls. I was the only male figure in the car. All my nine-year-old girlfriends right there, back there, talking away. And they're having some great conversations, and they're talking about all sorts of things. And I was listening, and every single conversation that was developing, as they always do in normal conversational terms, ended up turning into a conversation about somebody else. And as that conversation developed about somebody else, it inevitably turned into, did you know, and have you heard, and can you believe, and all of those things, like most nine-year-old girls do. Most 29-year-old girls, most 59-year-old girls, most 9-year-old boys and 59-year-old boys and everybody else in the scheme. So we're driving, and as we get to a certain place in the drive, I stopped the girls for a second. I said, hey, girls, anybody here in the car know what Ephesians 4:29 says? Yeah, don't really remember. Of course, my expectations were high. I said to them, you know, it says this. It says, don't let anything come out of your mouth that isn't for the building up of somebody else. So we started talking in the car about what that meant to build somebody else up. And so I started asking questions like, what would it feel like to you if you knew that this group of friends in the car, whenever they got together and they were talking and you weren't there, that you could guarantee that they would only be saying wonderful things about you? How would that make you feel? All the girls jumped at that one. Oh, that'd be pretty cool. I said, yeah, wouldn't it? And how would it feel if you knew that every time you were in a conversation with one of these people in this car, that whatever they would say to you would sound so wonderful that you would just feel good when it was done? Oh, that would be pretty nice, wouldn't it? I said, you know what? The funny thing is, God tells us that's exactly how we're supposed to live. He doesn't say that that's optional or that could be kind of neat. He says, that is exactly what I expect. that that's how you will live. Now, this is awesome, and we've talked about Ephesians 4:29 before. As you know, some of you in the church here already know the little code word, 4:29. If you ever find yourself in a conversation that isn't building somebody up, just say, you know, 4:29, time to go. But there's more to this than simply what happens in this particular verse, speaking to making sure that when we talk positively about others, to build them up. Paul goes on to write in chapter 5, verse 1, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." You hear these words? Giving up, sacrificing, humbly. I mean, all these words that Christ gave and did for us, and now God's going to go, this is how I want you to live. I want you to be imitators of God. Then he goes on in verse 3 all the way through to the end of verse 14, talking about all of the horrible things that exist in this world that get whispered into our ears, that call to us and call to our flesh and say, come do this. And then he gets here into verse 15 and he says this, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." Now watch this. It almost seems weird what he says next. Like he's in this whole thing about being wise, and he says this, "Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." You know, it is a beautiful ending to two entire chapters of talking about what it means to live as children of the light, what it means to be imitators of God. It is almost as though the culmination of this entire passage is speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and wonders, and make sure that all that you're doing is in worship to God and always with thanksgiving, and submit yourself to each other constantly. And that's what I want you to do. So I was thinking about this particular little verse, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Kind of a weird verse, frankly. I mean, have you ever thought about it? I read that verse the first time and I'm like, God, what does that mean? I mean, hey, Brooke, can I sing you a hymn? I mean, it kind of seems a little odd, doesn't it? Speak to each other with psalms, hymns, and such, and you're kind of like, God, what are you asking of me? I don't know if you were in my house this week. If you were here this morning, you heard some of what happened in my house this week. It was a lot of fun, pretty ugly in many ways. You know, I shared with you guys that this week was not a good week for my wife and I. You know, we didn't do so good on the talking thing with one another, speaking psalms and hymns to each other. We spoke many things to each other, but none of them were psalms nor hymns. And it wasn't the greatest thing in the world. And you know, it was very interesting to me because I shared with you guys this morning that I went to this church planting conference on Monday and Tuesday. And at this church that I went to in Antioch, they have this thing that they do there where, you know, they kind of get together and they just share with one another different things going on that they see in each other. It was a little different from what we tend to experience here. And I remember in particular, you know, standing in a place and different people would come up to me and they'd put their hands on me and they'd share a picture with me and then they'd pray over me, you know? And I was just praying about that and thinking about that and going, God, what do I take from this as I sense your presence here and sense what you're doing here? And it became so evident to me, this one thing that was really, really cool, is that it became evident that as a community, people were speaking into each other's lives. They were just talking to each other and saying, can I share something with you, a scripture that I feel I just want to give to you or something. And you just sense this amazing power as people of God spoke into other people of God the things of God. And it was amazing, you know? And I walked out of that into my home for 3 days and watched the experience of speaking into another human being everything that is not God. And how incredibly powerful that is. And how well that works to break down everything that is of God. I mean, there is no faster way to rob one another of genuine community and love, whether it's in our marriages, in our friendships, in our church, than to speak about one another in ways that do not build up, and to speak to one another in ways that break down. No faster way to rob one another of true God community. And yet, there is no faster way to experience God in community than to speak into each other's lives the wonders of God, and to speak to one another in manners that build each other up. See, I realized this week that the goal is not simply not to gossip. The goal is not simply not to say mean things. The goal is not simply to hold your tongue. The goal is to get to a place in life where you wake up in the morning and you seek out new ways to speak into the lives of those around you that God has brought to you, whether they are your neighbors, whether they are your coworkers, whether they are your spouses, whether they are your children, whether they are your friends, whether they are your enemies, that you ought to be looking and to be saying, God, what is it you want me to speak into their life about what you have to say? God has given us psalms and hymns and wonders, his word right here, with a million, trillion different things that apply to you and I. And God has told you and I that we, the church, are the priesthood. We have been given the privilege of speaking God's word to the world. It's not my job, it's your job. And then God comes along to you and he says, now, when you talk to each other, speak with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. I thought about my home this coming week. And I want you to hear this because I'm telling you, next Sunday I'm going to get up here and I'm going to tell you how I went. I thought about this coming week and I thought to myself, you know what? I wonder what my house is going to look like in 7 days. Because for the next 7 days, with every ounce that I have in me, and then added to that the incredible power of the Holy Spirit as he works in me, I am going to not simply make sure that I only say positive things in my house. I'm going to look for ways to speak into my family, into my wife. Just today, just this afternoon, there were probably 4 or 5 scriptures that came to mind out of God's word that God said, this week I want to make sure that you tell Brooke these things. I want you to be sure to let your wife know that I feel this way about her, and that I think these things of her, and that these are the things that I see in her. And you know what's really funny? As soon as I started focusing on wanting to speak God's word into my wife's life, I started seeing things in her that just were wonderful. And you see her heart. My wife has an incredible heart, you know? And I see in her heart just the passions that she has. I walked into the house this afternoon, and she was sitting there doing a Beth Moore study for the women's Bible study, and I was just like, God, thank you that this is my wife. Yesterday, you hearing me? Yesterday morning, I was sitting in my house going, God, I will not humble myself with my wife, because then if I do, she's going to get away with all that stuff that frustrated me this week. That was my attitude yesterday morning. No, God, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to just let go of my rights that easily. And yet this afternoon, I'm looking at my wife going, what an amazing woman. That doesn't happen, guys. Ladies, that doesn't happen unless we say, God, this is about you and about what I'm going to do in obedience to you as I submit myself to you, and by doing that, give myself to another. This is not about the conditions of my wife and what she chooses or does not choose to do. This is about my submission to God. See, here in Ephesians, Paul said, be imitators of God, not of anyone else. And submit yourself to God, not anyone else. and do what he says. I think that the islanders in the Solomon Islands do have a point. When we're mean-spirited and we shout and scream at people, we break them down. There's no doubt about that, and I think no one in this room would argue with that. But tonight, that's not the point. I don't want you to leave here tonight going, I got to make sure that I don't shout at people. There's a much bigger point here, that God tells us in the book of Ephesians that when we speak to one another, we should speak to each other with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You see what I'm saying here? This is a proactive command. It says you ought to be speaking to each other, and you ought to be doing it in a manner worthy of the gospel. I would like to know what it would look like this week if those in this room, look around for a second. I mean, take a second. Look around. How there's probably, what, about 50 people in this room, maybe 60? If we took these people in this room, and you guys all decided this week that you were going to take seriously this word from God, that you are to speak into one another's lives in a manner worthy of the gospel with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, always with thanksgiving for, what did God say? Everything. Isn't that amazing? I mean, he leaves nothing out in this particular passage. I want you to always be giving thanks for everything. God, everything? I mean, everything? Even that bad thing that happened yesterday? Even that stuff that's going on? I want you to always be giving thanks for everything. I want to ask you this question. What does our world look like? Just our world, the circle of influence that you guys have in this room. I would bet, based on this room, that there are probably somewhere between 400 and 500 people this week that you are going to touch. In your workplace, in your neighbors, your relationships, 400 or 500 people this week, and that's probably being conservative. Grocery store clerk, waitress at a restaurant, you name it, that you will touch this week. And if you take seriously God's call to speak into one another's lives in a manner worthy of the gospel, I want to know what kind of an impact that will have. I want to know what will change. I want to know what we will be like. I want to know what people will think of us. It's like sitting in that car with those 9-year-olds. Guys, what would it feel like if that's how we were? I had this picture this morning. You know, we were talking about this morning about submitting to one another, and I had this picture of this husband. I don't know why this picture was in my head. Maybe it was because I was feeling so bad about myself. But there was this husband and this wife, and this husband was talking over this wife, and you just tell he was really tall, and he was like, and just not being very nice. And I was like, hey, it's me. And there he was talking, and he was really tall, and I think that's a sign. I'm just kidding. But he's talking over his wife, and the wife was standing over here, and you could just see in her face, she was just kind of like, you know, just kind of quivering a little bit, just sort of like, wow, this is really bad. And she just wanted to lash out. And you know what she did? At the end of the conversation, he stops and she takes her arms and she goes, puts her arms around him and puts her head and goes, I love you so much. I just had that picture in my head and I just thought to myself, what an amazing moment that would be if that could only happen, wouldn't it? Imagine if people in your life came to you and as they were speaking to you and doing things to you and they were just rah, and you were ah, and all that was happening. And in that moment, you were able to say, wait a second. I belong to Christ. I'm a Christ follower. And in Ephesians chapter 4 and 5, God said to me, be imitators of Christ. That when people are beating you down and they're hating you and trying to crucify you, you love them. And you speak into their lives and you tell them how wonderful they are. That's what I got to do. And right now my spouse is going crazy. I just love him. It sounds silly, doesn't it? We're all standing like, that's silly. And I go, no, it's not. Not at all. Not even one bit. On Sunday nights when we come together here, I hope that in the past, and I certainly hope that in the future, every time we get together, there will be some small thing that God will hand to us and say, do this. Just do this and do it well. Go and do this. And this week, as God comes to us, I hope that he hands this small thing to us this week. I want you to go out those doors. And I want you to find special ways this week to speak God's word into other people's lives. to tell them what you see in them that you think is awesome. To speak to them like you think the Lord God would speak to them if he were right here on this planet. Have you ever watched Jesus as you read the Gospels? Isn't it fascinating to you that no matter who approached him, he seemed to have a way to speak into their lives that was so powerful that it would leave their head spinning? The woman at the well, the woman caught in adultery, the rich young ruler, the 12 disciples, the tax collectors, Zacchaeus. I mean, you go on and on, and it's these people that are just sitting in the story, and Jesus has this way of going, can I say something to you? And when he's done, they're just like, oh. And then God comes to us, and he says, you are ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors. You know what that means? You represent the Lord Jesus Christ on this planet. And I expect from Ephesians chapter 4 and 5 that I will now go and say, God, this week I will speak life into people. I pray that this week, when we're done, that there will be trees blooming everywhere. And not in the physical sense, like trees in the islands, but that every word we say will bring such life to people's spirits that by the end of the week, all they want to do is be around us. So, remember this. When you gossip or speak about somebody else, you destroy every opportunity to speak into them. And when you speak harsh words that are not wholesome to somebody else and you break their spirit, you lose every chance to speak life into them. So don't do those two things. Be sure of that. But don't stop there. Make sure that you ask the Lord God this week, even tonight, God, would you show me some people in my week? My coworkers, my neighbors, my friends, a stranger. Would you show me some people this week that I am just supposed to encourage? That I'm just supposed to grab and say, can I just encourage you? Can I just tell you how awesome you are? Can I just tell you that God loves you? Can I just tell you that I think you're special? May we be men and women that are imitators of God. And may we speak life into those around us, especially the body of Christ. Especially the body of Christ. I leave you with this last thought as I stop. There is never a reason that you shouldn't be speaking life into a fellow believer. There is never a reason for that. Every time we do anything but that, it is 100% purely a lie from the enemy, because there is never a reason not to speak encouragement into a fellow believer, because we are one body under one Savior with one vision and one love, just as Philippians tells us. And we ought to live in that. Would you pray with me? Lord God, I am so convicted tonight. I'm just burning, God, with the need to speak words of encouragement, words of life into my wife and my kids, especially, God. And I just confess to you tonight that I have done that poorly these last few days, and probably for a lot longer than that. And I just want to ask you, Holy Spirit, that you would empower me this week by your strength, because I belong to you, and I know that you've already told me that I have been given all authority under heaven through your strength. Would you empower me to defeat the lies of the enemy this week and to speak words of life and encouragement into my wife and my children? God, I ask you that not a word would leave my lips this week. Not a word would leave my lips this week that would not be life-giving. I pray for my brothers and sisters in this room that not a word would leave my lips this week that wouldn't speak life into their lives. And I pray that not a word would leave their lips that wouldn't speak life into one another's lives. God, I pray this week for each one of us here that say we follow you, that you would show us clearly a few people this week whether it's a stranger or a friend, a coworker or a neighbor, a wife or a child, would you show us a few people and whisper to our spirits and say, I want you to just encourage them. I want you to just speak life into them. I want you to speak words that are psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to them. And I want you to do it with thanksgiving for everything. God, I ask you now, by the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to submit to one another in reverence, in humility, and to give ourselves away for one another. We love you, Jesus. We want to imitate you. We want to live like you. We want to be like you. We want to follow you. We want to give ourselves to you. We want to be ambassadors for you. Help us to love one another so that people will know that we follow you. In Jesus' name.